Okay, I greet you in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Another beautiful with God. Strengthen our walk that we might follow his commandments better. I'm going to start with Psalm 118:24, which says, "This is the day which the Lord hath made. We will rejoice and be glad in it." You know, and I hope we're all rejoicing this day, you know, as in every day, for the glory of God and what he has given us. I'm going to start with Matthew 7. So Matthew 7, I'm going to start with verse 1, and it says, "Judge not that ye be not judged, for with what judgment ye judge, ye shall be judged, and with what measure ye meet, it shall be measured to you again. And why beholdest thou the mote that is in thy brother's eye, but considerest not the beam that is in thine own eye? Or how wilt thou say to thy brother, Let me pull out the mote out of thine eye, and behold, a beam is in thine own eye? Thou hypocrite, first cast out the beam out of thine own eye, and then shalt thou see clearly to cast out the mote out of thy brother's eye." And in Luke 6:37, it says, "Judge not, and ye shall not be judged. Condemn not, and ye shall not be condemned. Forgive, and ye shall be forgiven." You know, this is, you know, these verses, you know, are talking, you know, we need to judge ourselves. But, you know, how easy is it for us to judge other people? You know, and so it's saying here, do not judge wrongfully. First, look at yourself, and we must judge. You know, what things do we judge? We should judge right from wrong, good from evil. But tonight, I want to talk about something else. And it's another judgment that we need to do, and it's something that, you know, I said do not judge, but this is something we need to judge others with a compassion. You know, we need to judge others with their needs. You know, we need to look at others, and if they are having problems, you know, are we so busy in our lives that, and we are, we're all busy people, you know, busy trying to go from here to there. But do we look at our brothers and sisters and see a difference, see something that is a need that they have in their lives? You know, 2 Corinthians 1, 3 and 4 says, "Blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort, who comforteth us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort them which are in trouble by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God." Are we ready to show the love and compassion that the Lord has shown us? You know, he has that compassion for us. We must have that compassion for others. You know, throughout the Bible and the Book of Mormon, it's filled with examples of compassion. And actually, I skipped down here. Actually, the reason this brought to my mind, a few years ago, I was in the grocery store. I was in Hy-Vee. And I ran into some parents of some kids that, actually a girl that had grown up, went clear through school with Lindsay. And I ran into them in the store, and they looked at me and they said, with a compassionate tone, and they said, "Is everything okay?" And I'm like, "Yeah, everything's good," you know? And so I come home to Becky, and I'm like, "Becky, does something look wrong with me?" And she's like, "No, you look normal. You look fine." You know, but they had that compassion. They had that thinking something maybe was wrong with me. And so then I thought back, you know, they knew me when the girls were all the way through school. And back then I was 50, 60 pounds heavier. And so they looked at me and knew I had lost a lot of weight. And, you know, to us, you know, I look normal, you know, I'm healthy. But to them, they knew me when I was heavier and just were concerned. You know, are we concerned for others? And are we showing that love and that need? You know, as I said, clear through the Bible and the Book of Mormon, there's so many stories of the compassion of the Lord. You know, and I'm going to read one scripture tonight that it's John 11. There were so many to pick from, and I picked this one, John chapter 11. You know, and this is the story of Lazarus and his death, and the love that Jesus had for his sisters, Mary and Martha, and him, and for Lazarus. And I'm going to start with verse 1, and it says, "Now a certain man was sick, named Lazarus, of Bethany, the town of Mary and her sister Martha. It was that Mary which anointed the Lord with ointment and wiped his feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was sick. Therefore his sister sent unto him, saying, Lord, behold, he whom thou lovest is sick. And Jesus heard that, he said, this sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God might be glorified thereby. And Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. When he had heard, therefore, that he was sick, he abode 2 days, still in the same place where he was. Then after that, saith he to his disciples, let us go into Judea again. His disciples say unto him, Master, the Jews of late sought to stone thee, and goest thou thither again? And Jesus answered, are there not 12 hours in the day? If any man walk in the day, he stumbleth not, because he seeth the light of this world. But if a man walk in the night, he stumbleth because there is no light in him. These things said he, and after that he saith unto them, our friend Lazarus sleepeth, but I go that I may awake him out of sleep. Then said his disciples, Lord, if he sleep, he shall do well. Howbeit Jesus spake of his death, but they thought that he had spoken of taking of rest in sleep. Then said Jesus unto them plainly, Lazarus is dead. And I am glad for your sakes that I am not there, to the intent ye may believe. Nevertheless, let's go unto him. And he said, Thomas, which is called Didymus, unto him, his fellow disciples, let us also go that we may die with him. Then when Jesus came, he found that he had lain in the grave 4 days already. Now Bethany was nigh unto Jerusalem, about 15 furlongs off. Many of the Jews came to Martha and Mary to comfort them concerning their brother. You know, there they were comforting Mary and Martha, you know, and they were showing that compassion. It says, then Martha, as soon as she heard that Jesus was coming, went and met him, but Mary sat still in the house. Then said Martha unto Jesus, Lord, if thou hast been here, my brother had not died. But I know that even now, whatsoever thou wilt ask of God, God will give it to thee. Jesus saith unto her, thy brother shall rise again. Martha saith unto him, I know that he shall rise again in the resurrection at the last day. You know, Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this? She saith unto him, yea, Lord, I believe that thou art the Christ, the Son of God, which should come into the world. And when she had So said, she went her way, called Mary, her sister, secretly, saying, "The Master is come and calleth for those." As soon as she heard that, she arose quickly and came unto him. Now Jesus was not yet come into town, but was in that place where Martha met him. The Jews then, which were with her in the house and comforted her, when they saw Mary, that she rose up hastily and went out, followed her, saying, "She goeth unto the grave to weep there." Then Mary was come where Jesus was, saw him, she fell down at his feet, saying unto him, "Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died." When Jesus therefore saw her weeping, and the Jews also weeping, which came with her, he groaned in the spirit and was troubled, and said, "Where have ye laid him?" They said unto him, "Lord, come and see." And then this next verse is one that a lot of people mention, and but tonight when I read it, 35 says, "And Jesus wept." You know, Jesus wept with that compassion, with that love that he had. And that is the shortest verse. When someone would say, read a verse, and they would like say Jesus wept, because that is the shortest verse in the Bible, I believe. But Jesus wept with that love and that compassion. And then it said, "Then said the Jews, behold, how he loved him." You know, they could see that love. "And some of them said, could not this man which opened the eyes of the blind have caused that even this man should have not died?" Jesus therefore, again groaning in himself, coming to the grave. It was a cave, and a stone lay upon it. Jesus said, "Take ye away the stone." You know, Martha, the sister of him that was dead, saith unto him, "Lord, by this time he stinketh, for he hath been dead 4 days." Jesus said unto her, "Said I not unto thee that if thou wouldst believe, thou shouldst see the glory of God?" Then they took away the stone from the place where the dead was laid. Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, "Father, I thank thee that thou hast heard me, and I knew that thou hearest me always, but because of the people which stand by, I said it, that they may believe, and thou hast sent me." And when he thus had spoken, he cried with a loud voice, "Lazarus, come forth." You know, here it is in this story, many, many things. There's to show the glory of God, he wanted the people to have faith. And they had faith. And they also had to believe. You know, they believed in God, and they believed in Jesus, and they knew of God's glory. But for this to happen, and then he showed the glory and brought Lazarus back to life. You know, I long reading there, but a story that shows the compassion of the people, you know, of Jesus. You know, I think in the Bible it says, weep with those that mourn. Do we do that? You know, I know when I was younger, I had a rough time going to funerals, it's like, what do you say? What do you say? But just being there, showing your love, showing it doesn't matter, you know, what you say. I mean, you say, "I'm here for you." You know, they're maybe in a better place, whatever you say. Show that compassion, that love. You know, Jesus had this compassion, this love for the people. You know, he wanted them to have that faith and to believe. And I'm going to turn to Hebrews 11, which is the faith chapter. I'm just going to read. That was my long, long reading. So thank you for being patient there. But Hebrews 11, I'm going to read verses 1 through 6. It says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen, for by it the elders obtained a good report. Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. By faith Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and by it he, being dead, yet speaketh. By faith Enoch was translated that he should not see death, and was not found, but God had translated him, for before his translation he had this testimony that he pleased God. But without faith it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is the rewarder of them that diligently seek him. You know, I know we must have faith. I know all of us here have that faith in the Lord and that we believe. And I'm going to turn to Mosiah 2, page 220. And I'm going to read 9 through 17, page 220, Mosiah 2. And this is on believing in God. And it says, I say unto you that if you have come to the knowledge of the goodness of God, his matchless power and his wisdom and his patience and his long suffering towards the children of men, and also the atonement which hath been prepared from the foundation of the world, that thereby salvation might come to him that should put his trust in the Lord, and should be diligent in keeping his commandments and continue in the faith even unto the end of his life, I mean the life of the mortal body. I say that this is the man that receiveth salvation through the atonement which was prepared from the foundation of the world for all mankind, which ever were, ever since the fall of Adam, or which are, or which ever shall be, even unto the end of the world. And this is the means whereby salvation cometh. And there is none other salvation save this which hath been spoken of. Neither are there any conditions whereby man can be saved, except the conditions which I have told you. Believe in God. Believe that he is, and that he created all things, both in heaven and in earth. Believe that he hath all wisdom and all power, both in heaven and in earth. Believe that man doth not comprehend all the things which the Lord can comprehend. And again, believe that you must repent of your sins and forsake them, and humble yourselves before God, and ask in sincerity of heart that he would forgive you. And now, if you believe all these things, see that you do them. You know, that's the big line there. See that you do them. I know we all believe. You know, are we doers of the word? Do we do the things we should? Do we, do we have faith, believe in God? You know, do we serve him to do the things that we should do in life? You know, do we live our lives as that example of God's goodness? And again, are we doers of the word, not hearers only? You know, it's easy. We all have good intentions, but do we reach out? Do we reach out one to another? You know, do we show God's love and compassion to others and recognize the needs of our brothers and sisters? You know, do we recognize it? And I'm going to turn here to James 1. Okay, the first chapter of James, and I'm going to start with 17, and it says, every good gift, every perfect gift is from above, and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. Of his own will begat he us with the word of truth, that we should be a kind of first fruits of his creatures. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. For the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. Wherefore, lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, and receive with meekness the engrafted word which is able to save your souls. But be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For if any be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass. For he beholdeth himself, goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty, and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. If any man among you seem to be religious and bridleth not his tongue, but deceiveth his own heart, this man's religion is vain. Pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this, to visit the fatherless and the widows in their affliction, and to keep himself unspotted from the world. You know, a couple weeks ago, I got a call from a brother in the church, and he, it was on a Tuesday night, and he said, I have an idea, give me a call. And so I called him back, and he said, you know, I want to bring my boys over, and I want to help your dad. You know, your dad, they had picked up a trailer to use for the camp, one of my dad's trailers, and my dad had said, yeah, I need to get this brush all cleaned up, and this brother saw how much he needed help, you know, and my dad's 91, and he's always been a do-it-yourselfer, and he knew if he called my dad would say, I'm fine, you know, so he called me and said, you know, can I come to it this Saturday, and I said, that'd be great. I was planning on going over there. I had been out of town the week before. I was planning on going over there to help out. Well, of course, it was the, after we got there, it was the hottest, a couple Saturdays ago, it was the hottest day that we had. I mean, I had to sit down quite a bit, and the heat just took it out of me, you know. And my brother, he brought his boys. My dad, of course, didn't want to just sit. I wanted to let him just sit. I said, you need to sit. He said, if I'm going to sit, I'm going to sit on the mower. And so he mowed everywhere, but on his riding lawnmower. But it was a hot day. I could not, and I would have given up probably pretty early and wouldn't have got much done. But they helped so much doing so much work. And they afterwards, I texted him, and I said, thank you very much. You know, and they said, you know, your dad has done a lot for other people. We wanted to do this for him. And as we were out there, actually, this brother said to me, you know, here I was, you know, he had, you know, picked the hottest day of the year. And he said, you know, he wanted me just to rest because he knew this old man, you know, needed to rest too. But he... you know, he had that love, and he had that desire to help another person. You know, he was a doer. You know, he got it there, and he said, I don't know why I picked this hot day. And I said, well, you know what? It was actually probably an answer to my prayer, even though I didn't pray, please let somebody come help. But I said, my plan was to come out here today, and I would not have got this stuff done. And I said, so it was a blessing from God that you offered. You know, so what a blessing, what a blessing. You know, are we doers of the word? Do we do things for the glory of God? Do we let God's light shine through the things we do? I have some helpers here, some doers here. I asked these if you can come up here, Tyler and Rogan and Addison and Avery. And